Hello, hello, hello.
Hi.
Hiya.
That was very announcery of you.
Michelle, no, I see you're doing the swiping thing on your thing. I downloaded that.
And then you deleted it?
And I didn't delete it. I just don't use it. You know, it's
why not?
Well, first of all, I don't have nails anymore.
Yeah, but which you makes will it easy. Soon enough.
Well, I don't know if I'll ever go back to those nails.
Seriously.
Seriously. It was kind of traumatic. Actually.
Oh my God, you're ridiculous. Your nails look beautiful.
Well, they look beautiful now because I don't have the acrylics on, but last summer I had acrylics for 3 months.
Yeah, and your nails have not been beat up by
well,
them.
Well, they've just come back to life. It took.
How did you exist?
It took, you know this, it took at least 2 months for them to be resuscitated.
Yes.
You know.
You poor thing. I don't know how you got by.
Well, you know, I do like to have my nails done and all that, but I just felt suffocated having the acrylics on.
There are some people that can't do it because of claustrophobia, because if they're thinking about one part of their body that can't get out.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I understand that.
Yeah.
I will never believe that or listen or hear that, but I understand that. But I still think that it brought your already flawless drag to the next level.
It was fun. It was great because, you know, we paint my nails, before I go out on the stage, but I just keep them short. But having the nude nails. The illusion of nude acrylics the whole time. You know, we never, I don't think we painted them. We painted them a few times.
Yeah, not a lot.
Not a lot.
But
we
a
just
few
kept
times.
Them nude. And it just made the hand, it made it so.
It elongates. It feminizes. It does something.
And it actually, in the way you behave, it changes the way you behave.
It does. Yeah. You pointed everything. I love that. That was my favorite part.
So now, on today's episode of the podcast, I want to talk about fashion. And I've said this many times before. I love fashion. I love the clothes. Hate the people, though.
Yeah.
Don't like the pretentiousness of the people.
That's a problem. And I don't know why they have to go hand in hand. I don't know why there can't be humble people in fashion. There are some.
There are. Well, we're going to meet one today.
One of my most favorite people on the planet.
Absolutely. We've got Marc Jacobs on the show. He's going to come down a little bit
and
later.
And sexy.
Oh,
daddy,
my goodness.
God, do I love me some
and
Marc.
And smart.
Yeah.
Really conscious and smart. And
he's a New Yorker.
He's a New Yorker, but, you know, not all New Yorkers are smart like that.
No, but he's got that real New York kind of sensibility, being raised in New York City. And
you know what? I think he's someone who really pays attention.
He does.
You know,
he does.
And the details and all that, and knows his history. I got to say, you know, I recently saw the fall collection of Maison Margiela.
Uh-huh.
Am I saying it right?
You are.
And, of course, that's designed by John Galliano. And it was a very avant-garde show.
Galliano has always been avant-garde.
It's avant-garde and weird, but I got to tell you, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And as far off as he can go with like...
Just make sure you're not a Jew.
Well, no, he's not. You know that wasn't real. You know that was just alcohol. You know that. And I think everybody is actually... everybody judges people based on their appearance. Not to that sort of sick extent, but I think everybody's a freaking racist. I really do.
I think that people, I don't know, maybe everybody has a touch of racism.
You know, I think they say that in public, but in real life, everybody's a racist, you know.
To a certain extent.
Now, to the extent that happened to him, of course, John Galliano was caught on film, drunk, belligerent, really, saying some nasty things. I am able to forgive him because A, he was drunk, and B, you know, that bitterness of the sensitive artist. He's paid the price.
He paid the price for sure.
Have you been able to forgive him?
Yeah, you know, I don't like people like the whole thing with Katie Hopkins. I don't like people that do that stuff in general.
Right.
Of course, I mean, you're allowed to say whatever you want. I'm never going to hold. I mean, I was halfway kidding with the Galliano statement.
Yeah.
But for me, I feel like there's no need for that to be even said. There's no need for that negativity to even be vocalized.
Well, but you know, but of course, when you're drunk, when the person is in a blackout drunk, there are things that you do that you're not even aware of. And a lot of,
I've never experienced that. So I feel like, drunk just amplifies your mood that you were before you got drunk. So you have way more experience with alcohol than I do.
Yes.
So I'm going to defer to you.
I'm going to tell you, you know, first of all, inside a person's consciousness, there are two people. there is the sort of ego. It's like the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other.
Right.
You know? And I think that once you are in a blackout, there are times you do not know what you have done.
And that's quite possible. Like I said, I've never been there before.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can be held responsible for what you do when you're inebriated.
When you're inebriated, because you're not there. You know, I tell the story many times about, and this is an Eckhart Tolle story, where he says, you know, the drunk who beats up his family and tears the house up and everybody's crying. The next morning when he's sobered up and he's come to his senses, he says to them, I will never do this again. I will. And he's telling the truth. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely telling the truth.
In his conscious state.
No, but that's not the person. That's not the person who did the damage last night.
Correct. And
Two different.
I agree.
People.
So when you say to me, did you forgive? Can you forgive him? I don't really care. It doesn't affect my life.
Well, it does, because it was offensive. And the issue was that he had been filmed, I guess secretly filmed, or I don't know. He'd been filmed saying these awful things in
about
a
you.
Blackout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but what I was saying was he doesn't affect my life. So me forgiving him is irrelevant if I forgive him.
Well,
or not.
Forgiving
him. I'm not
going
to buy his stuff. I can't afford it anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, are you willing to let him off the hook given the
circumstances? No, here's the thing. You and I have discussed this a lot. And we have a little bit different views when it comes to this because, yes, people are allowed to say whatever they want, but there are consequences. So I'm not going to ever give my money to Dolce & Gabbana after what they said about, you know, artificial families or what. Being an adopted kid or being a woman who fought fertility issues and almost had to adopt myself, like, my kids are not synthetic kids. I'm not a synthetic kid. Like, so for me, I'm not going to give them money. Mm-hmm. Do I care what happens? No, I don't wish them ill will, but it doesn't mean I have to give them money and help, you know, pay their tax bill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yes, there's a certain aspect. People are totally freedom of speech, but I'm so sick of people hiding hate behind freedom of speech mm-hmm. or behind freedom of religion. I don't like that. I think it's an excuse for not to be a true or good person.
Right, right.
So that's my only thing.
Well, but you know, we talked about this the other night at the premiere when we were talking about Good Times and we were talking about how the two stars of the film, of the TV show, the sitcom, left the show because they felt the pressure of the NAACP or other black groups, which was that John Amos and Esther Rolle. They left the show. Esther Rolle came back, but John Amos left the show permanently because apparently.
Did Florida ever find her neck?
Ooh, she racist. You are a racist.
That was not racism. That was neckism. What are you talking about, racism? You know, she was a head on shoulders.
Yes, yes, I understand that.
Less Esther Rolle.
Well, they left the show because
they
felt...
By the way, sidebar, in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Oh, she is?
She is. She's the maid.
I did not know that.
Amazing.
How about that?
Yeah, beautiful, too, actually.
Well, on the show, there was a lot of pressure that the character JJ on Good Times did not represent what... black groups felt was
why,
a positive
though?
Thing. Well, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because he's a.
Is this kind of a nerd?
This is a sitcom.
Yeah.
The characters are accelerated and amplified.
Caricatures.
Because they're caricatures. Mm. So people cross those lines with that thing. And the truth is, listen, for them to leave the show because they felt it was a bad depiction of young black men is wrong in that this is not the
reality.
You don't go to a sitcom for your images of what should be. That's your parent. That's your parents.
You're right.
Do
but,
that.
But also,
that's not a sitcom. And that's
correct.
Why I say for Dolce & Gabbana, I don't go to Dolce & Gabbana for parental planning.
No,
I go to them for shirts and suits.
But I'm
and
not going to give them my money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that I would give them my money.
And you can.
Because I don't care what they have to say about it. I only care about how they design their shoes.
Yeah.
I only care about going to Good Times for the laughs. I don't go there to train my children of how a black man should act.
In my way of being who I am, I can't consciously feel good about doing that. I can't justify going.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
But that's what's made beautiful about the world, you know? Everybody can do their own thing. But
I have people who I won't support them.
Exactly,
because,
you know.
Absolutely. I have people I won't support because at their core it's really, really, really ugly and nasty.
Right.
But there are exceptions when you really look closer at the situation. But, you know.
So the alcohol thing, I can understand.
Yeah. And the John Galliano, this collection, I was saying that it's way out there. Like, it's really out there. But this is someone who knows the history of mankind on this planet. And he has followed the storyline. You'll see a young designer put together a collection, and they've made all the mistakes in terms of the focal point. And he's still following all the rules of what a human body requires.
But you know, he's an artist.
You know what? Ain't nobody better.
No, he's an artist.
He is beyond.
Yeah. He's otherworldly.
He's like, you know, he's like the greats, you know.
We're talking about John Galliano.
John Galliano. Yeah. He's like the greats with, you know, Valentino and Yves Saint Laurent.
The funny thing is, I never hear of anybody wearing Galliano because he's not he's so unaffordable. He's like Hermes unaffordable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but those people who wear those clothes, we don't know them.
No.
We don't know
Daphne Guinness might wear, you know, things like that.
And with fashion, as you well know, you know, you make the money on the t-shirts, the fragrance, and the sunglasses.
Yes, yes.
So,
and the bags.
Then, yeah, and the handbags.
Yeah.
But that other level of making the money is this crowd of people who – we would never cross paths.
No,
with them.
Not ever. Yeah. Like the elite of the elite money wise.
Yeah.
I would love nothing more than to be able to put a piece of that on my body, you know, at one time just to feel what it feels like. And Gaga's living my dream in that sense. Like she gets to do all these designs and good for her
for
carving out that niche that she does that, you know.
When I did that Muppet Show special with her for the holiday special.
That was so fun.
They had so many clothes there. You know, some stylists pulled and I guess they told some house, we have Gaga. What do you have? They had
that's all they need to do.
And boxes. More than I've ever seen in my life. And I've been on a lot of shoots. More than I've ever seen. And actually, at one point, they had them all packed up. It was a room. It was like a room this size.
Like you were moving a house.
Filled with stuff. Like moving a house.
Are you kidding
me? No. And she didn't wear it.
I think that's amazing.
She didn't wear it.
No, she chose.
They just had it there.
Yeah. Just in case.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome that she's created that for, you know, herself and she loves fashion the way she does. I was obsessed with fashion. Obsessed with fashion in the 90s with the whole Elsa Clench thing.
Right. Oh.
I loved her. Recorded on my VHS.
Yeah.
Like I was really obsessed with fashion and really obsessed with supermodels, really obsessed with getting every glossy that there was, watching every single thing that there was, House of Style, all that whole era. That's when I became really obsessed with fashion. It's lately I'm not as obsessed with it.
Yeah. Well, there was a big swing towards fashion back then. You know, there were so many shows that did the sort of Elsa Clench type of thing. She was the first, obviously.
And the best.
But then there was the, the Fashion File and they did all those shows because it was easy to do. It's a foot. You just put a set of camera at the end of a runway and you got all this footage.
Yep.
But there was a big swing, especially the supermodel explosion that helped with the layperson's, you know, Fascination with fashion. Ooh,
that's a good album title.
I think that's a great album title.
Yes.
Fascination with fashion.
Yes.
But you know, Marc Jacobs is his genius is the fact that he too, like John Galliano, knows the history of the world. And that's what it takes. Because you don't really want to reinvent the wheel. You can
tweak it.
Tweak it.
Yeah.
You don't want to throw the whole baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
You have to know what the rules are before you then go and break
and
them.
And Marc Jacobs takes tons of risks too.
Yeah.
Which I love. But he also knows how to market.
The marketing is brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think he's such a great, great American story.
Me too.
Of just loving. And I've known him for many years. When I first hit it big, I met him, you know, in the circuit, doing the whole New York thing.
In the Gaiety circuit?
I wish.
The Falcon?
Oh, my God. I wish.
So hot, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's gorgeous.
Oh, my God. So
and, you know, he's always hot, and then he got unhot for a minute.
Yeah. Well, I think that was a big substance period.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he's actually even hotter now
than he's ever been. Yeah, yeah.
It's
remember that whole
crazy
long hair period?
Yeah. Oh, hey, so we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And then a little bit later, we're going to have Marc Jacobs. So you guys stay right where you are. Ooh, it's Squarespace time.
Mm-hmm.
I say it's always Squarespace time because if you want a network, if you want to find your tribe, you need a location for them to find you.
Location, location, location.
That's everything. That's everything. Now, making a website has never been easier. And that's because of Squarespace. They've simplified the whole process, which years ago, if you remember, was just so laborious.
No, you had to pay somebody.
You had to pay someone.
Unless you went to school for it.
Exactly. You know? Well, Squarespace has made it as simple as drag and drop, honey.
Love it.
Dragging and dropping over here.
That's what we're doing on season 12.
Hello.
Dragging and dropping.
Now, y'all, when you're ready to purchase a plan, get 10% off with the offer code RU. Rue, that's my name. That's squarespace.com, offer code RU. Hey, let's talk about Casper mattresses.
You got to ask me twice.
You slept on it last night.
Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness. They're so fabulous. Ugh. Listen, Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses at a fraction of the price that you would pay in a department store.
100%. Mattresses are one of the most marked up item there is to get in a department store. The prices are exorbitant. But I will tell you this. One of my favorite hobbies is sleeping.
Really?
I love to sleep. I'm an expert.
Oh, my
goodness. You can ask me anything about sleeping and I can tell you. I am so good at it. And Casper Mattress has changed my life.
Oh, I love hearing that.
It is so good, Rue. It is so perfect with that kind of amalgamation of latex and memory foam.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about it like doing any divot. It's just so heavenly.
I love that. That's you're hearing it here from someone who knows.
I know.
Listen, kids, you can get $50 toward any mattress purchase by going to Casper.com/Rue and using the offer code RU. That's right. Use that offer code, honey. RU. What you waiting for? Go to Casper.com/Rue and get started today. We are back with our fashion issue.
Yes, I love a fashion issue.
For your interactions.
Remember, we all would wait for the Bible, the Vogue.
Yes.
Fashion issue.
Do you still, you know, I bought an issue of Vogue for the dressing room. I never opened it. And I bought it because it was that girl, Lupina Papipo people.
Uh-huh.
Lupina, I can't, she's got the African name, I can't say.
Oh, Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Her. I had her on the cover and I thought, you know, they got a black girl on the cover. I'm going to buy this.
And she's real black.
And she's real black.
That gorgeous, gorgeous skin.
Love it. Love it. But I never opened it. It's still sitting there.
I won't.
You know,
and it's a shame because I would go through.
Why is that?
I don't know. Here was my method of going through magazines. I would buy a magazine. I'd buy them all. I would buy Vogue. I was never a Cosmopolitan fan. It was always too many, like, what to do in bed? What he likes in bed? Like, I wanted fashion. Mm-hmm. I loved Bazaar, stepped up the game real
fast. They certainly did.
Back then, I'm talking in the 90s.
Yeah.
Marie Claire, Allure came in and really slam dunked it. So I would buy all of them. And my process was I'd let the magazines open where they wanted to, and then I would pull that page out because it's usually a perfume or some kind of a cardboard thing that would force the pages open.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd rip all those out first. Yeah. And I have a stack of perfume samples, and then I'd go through, and then I'd read the magazine because it wouldn't force open to a page. I hate it when it would force open to a page. So I would gut the magazine, and then I'd sit there and I'd go through every one, and then you'd look at – the truth is about magazines, 80% of them are advertisers.
Right.
There's only 20% fashion.
Yeah.
And then I'd look and then, you know, I'd get blown away by a Stephen Klein or a Stephen Meisel shoot or.
Well, but the advertisements are fashion too. You get to see the
collections. Some are. Yeah, that's true. You know, like Chanel's always been that way.
But, you know, when you tear out the perfume ads, don't all the perfumes smell exactly the same?
Well, that's it.
Can you get the feeling of the fragrance from those?
Some you could because if they, and they're smart now. Now some of them even have cardboard sprays that you could spray.
Oh my goodness.
Like they've come such a long way. I would put them on different parts of my body and because, you know, perfume changes when you wear it.
Yeah.
And it smells different on me than it's going to smell on you.
Right.
So I'd smell it later. And I have bought some from the perfume ads in the magazines. But I will say this, they never quite smell the same as they did in the magazine because they have to put some kind of substance in it to make it thick so it lasts.
Yeah.
So it's never quite the same. But I have
But whenever I've torn those things out, it smells just like the last whatever
five
it was.
That you just
exactly.
Yeah. You know, you have to go there. It's so funny. In Australia recently, I went into I got obsessed with this store called Discount Chemist Warehouse or something, where you went in there and there were green signs with prices slashed everywhere, which in reality, they were just the same price. They just made you think they weren't.
Right.
So I go in there and there was a wall of perfumes and I was like, I want to smell the David Beckham one, maybe for my husband. And she's like, I said, where's this sample? And she's like, oh, we don't have one.
Uh-huh.
And I went, well, how do I smell the perfume?
Yeah.
And she went, oh, well, we're not a perfumer. And I went, turn around.
Uh-huh.
She turned around. I go, do you see that wall of perfumes? She's like, yeah. I said, you're a perfumer.
Yeah.
How is one going to buy that? She goes, well, if you go down the street, they have samples. You can smell it and come back and buy it.
Oh, because was it that much? It wasn't discount. You're saying
it was discounted. But the point was, I mean, I don't know how much discounted it was, right. But they made you think it was discounted. The point is there were hundreds of perfumes, not one to sample. How the hell do you buy a perfume without smelling it?
Do they sell that one here?
I don't know.
David
but
Beckham.
It seemed like it was cheaper there. Uh-huh. There was tons, every celebrity, everyone. Like, I didn't know Kim Kardashian had 4 fragrances.
Really?
And I don't think she does here.
Right.
But she did there.
Well, it was funny because I remember during the Paris Hilton, you know, takeover of the
yes.
world, I went to the Philippines and I got to understand where she was making all that money in other places in the world. You know, America's a very unique market
yes.
for marketing.
And the goal for everybody.
Yeah. But it's in other countries. Like the Playboy brand is huge everywhere else but here.
And nobody cares about it here.
Nobody cares about it here.
They did in the 80s.
They did. Actually, it had a resurgence in the late 90s.
Because of
Pamela. Or was it early?
It was early 90s. It was 92, 93 when Pamela.
I'm talking clothing.
Oh, no, the clothing line, yeah. And yeah. I even used to get Playboy lip gloss.
Yep.
Because growing up in New Jersey, it was huge. Because everybody, like I told you, in my Fiero, I had a disco ball hanging from my...
Of course you did.
What's it called? Visor.
Uh-huh.
And then in the middle of the rearview mirror, I had a Playboy air freshener and an Italian horn.
Of course, an
big
Italian
red
horn.
Italian horn.
Wow.
Yeah. So Playboy was huge in the late 80s, all the way through to like towards the end of the late
90s. Well, I know that in the late 90s,
yes.
they had a big resurgence with the t-shirts and stuff. But anyway, in Europe and in other countries, you know, certain brands like the Kardashian or Paris Hilton things, they were so huge.
Huge.
It's amazing. That's why it's interesting to talk to Marc Jacobs about the marketing of a fashion brand and where the money is made, where those margins are, and you know, how the fashion show, how it influences the whole line.
Well,
because they don't make money. Not everybody buys a dress for
$10,000. Well, that's the problem. I automatically posted a picture and I said to Mark, I said, please, do these jeans come in regular sizes? Meaning not Kendall Jenner, 6'4", size 22 waist sizes. And he said to me, I don't think these are being made. And they were the star booty jeans. They're stripes with a big star on the butt.
Right.
They were so beautiful.
You saw them in the show.
I saw them in the show. Kendall Jenner was actually wearing them. And I said, these come in normal people's sizes.
They're not going to be manufactured.
Being
produced. Yeah, no.
And that happens 9 times out of 10 with the fashion.
Because the fashion show is there to sort of set forth an aesthetic.
It is.
It's to set forth an idea, a projected idea of where the company is.
It's the face of the company,
it's the face of the company.
Yeah.
But they're not.
But that makes no sense to me because those jeans could sell for $400 and I can guarantee you right now they would sell out, and then there's money to be made when you mass produce them. If they sell for $400, let's say, which is probably low considering Stella McCartney sells hers for like $1,100. So depending on what it is, I just think there's money being missed out on something like mass purchase like that.
Well, my guess is that someone like an H&M or a Zara will see those jeans and do their version of those jeans.
Your mouth to God's ears. One can only hope.
Well, no, that's how it works.
Yeah. And that's why they got to do it before, you know, that happens. But that's true. That is how it works. And you know, what's amazing about Mark, what he does versus anybody else, because some people have used celebrities over the years, but Mark is smart by using the weird celebrities. Like he just had Milk, Our Girl Milk.
He has Our
Beth
Girl
Ditto,
Milk.
Ditto.
Yep.
You know, the irreverent, the not traditional people representing his brand. And I love that.
Well, that's what fashion is. That it's things get tossed to the side. It has to be the now.
Yes.
That's what it is. And, you know, I love the classic. I love a classic, you know, a navy suit with a gorgeous, you know, boat neck striped shirt
yeah.
and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But then people who can take that and twist it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, very, very, very exciting. And it's beautiful to watch. And definitely Marc Jacobs can do that.
I still get excited about fashion. It's just not in the forefront as it was in the 90s for us, because it was so thrust in our faces in the 90s that I became literally obsessed with it. That's all I did, was obsess about fashion and how I can get it. And I would go to all of these sales, and these Macy's had Macy's warehouse all the way out in the sticks in Jersey, and they would have sales two times a year. I got my first pair of Manolo Blahniks for $25.
Wow.
And it was worth it because people didn't know what they were fighting for.
Right.
So I would come in from New York City out there in the sticks with these, you know, women who just wanted to go get a Chico's outfit or an Eileen mm-hmm. Fisher outfit. And there's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with that, but they weren't looking for what I was looking for. So I always scored, and I always walked out with Versace leather, Manolo Blahnik shoes. Like, I still
I
have
had on
it.
My Versace leather
blue leather skirt. Uh-huh. My nails were done and my hair was and I was riding in a Cooper's limousine.
Don't you want to ride?
Yes.
You know, it's funny. We talked about, you know, the fashion houses having to compete with Zara and H&M and all the, and yeah. that sort of storyline.
Yeah.
Because they can knock it off for so much less.
And Zara does a hell of a job.
They do a hell of a job. It's not the exact same quality that you're paying for, but if you're on television or if you're a kid and you know limited budget, it does the job for the time that you need it.
Because on TV, you're wearing it for a couple hours and then you're done with it because you can't wear it again.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? You know, Burberry is doing this thing where as soon as it's seen on the runway, you can actually buy it. And a lot of people...
Brilliant.
They've been... testing that out and trying to make that work.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what needs to be done, because fashion isn't what it was in the 90s. So in order to make your brand relevant, doing that is brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Straight direct to the, you know, from the runway straight to mail order.
That started with that TV show, I think. It was like they were trying to find the next great designer. I think Nicole Richie was on it. Jessica Simpson was on it. Remember?
Yeah. It was called
Next Great Designer or something like that.
Right.
The show wasn't great, but the idea was. So if this person won by doing this shirt that night was available.
Really?
Isn't that brilliant?
I love
brilliant.
That.
Brilliant.
That's great.
So that's a brilliant way to do it, because I have to tell you, like the Marc Jacobs jeans, like that moment of, I need to have these. Oh, they're not being made. It hurts for these kids that love fashion. You know what I mean? I mean, the reality is most of us can't afford fashion. So the Zara's and the H&M's do us a favor.
Right.
By making fashion affordable. And I just hit the microphone. Sorry. It's all the vision, isn't it? It's all how you see things. I see things differently than you see things.
Sure. Yeah. Well,
and there's something for everybody.
I love how a certain silhouette will catch fire and it changes every, you know, you're in the airport and you see what people are wearing and you see certain shapes.
Are really going to judge at an airport?
Well, you know, it's like a fashion show. It's almost like a litmus test of who America is.
But most people do. Like for me, I love fashion and I try to dress as nicely as I can. But when I go to the airport, I can guarantee you I'm not fashions. I am wearing a onesie, a cute one, but it's usually a onesie with the most comfortable shoes because I'm flying for 10 hours.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure an airport is the best litmus test.
Well, you know, it
more
does.
More of a stool sample? I'm just saying, that's just my instinct because I do a lot of travel, girl.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just goes to show you, like you see a man at the airport and he's got those 90s jeans on, because you can tell because of the cut, he's had them for 20 years.
I hate those jeans.
And he's got white.
A wide leg.
He's got the white
socks.
There's white sneakers, you know, like exercise shoes.
Oh, yeah, gym shoes.
Gym shoes,
yeah.
But they're white.
Sneakers, right.
And some type of short sleeve shirt with a pattern on it. And I knew that outfit. I knew it when it was new. But it's interesting how, especially men, don't turn over a new leaf. You know, they don't.
They're very resistant.
Very resistant.
Because it's comfort. It's the same.
Well, the society doesn't demand that they up their game.
No, and it's comfort. It's like, you know, when you comfort food, or like when you listen to your favorite morning show on the radio every day, when you change it, it's like, oh no.
Right.
I don't know if I like this.
Well,
you know what I mean?
What was the Oprah thing where if you haven't worn it in a year.
I disagree.
You toss it
disagree.
Out.
Disagree.
This is you holding on to
eighth grade
clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because and your daughters don't want anything to do with it.
No.
Yeah.
But I did hold on to it for them. There are a few pieces that Lily, because Lily is kind of the same aesthetic as I do.
Uh-huh.
She's a little more into the 50s look than I am, but she'll wear my stuff. Lola's not having And I still have my wedding gown thinking that they're going to wear it. And they've already told me probably not. But
So Lily likes a sort of Betty Page storyline?
She likes, Lily's.
What did they change their name to? Because the designer for the Betty Page line.
Left.
Is now, no, she's there. She has changed the name of the company to her real name. Which is it Pamela or?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know that. I wasn't aware.
Yeah. They have stores. I saw it. They had a store in Vegas.
The pinup line that I like to wear is called Stop Staring. That's my favorite pinup line. So when I wear a dress, I'll go to her and her website because she's very stretchy, but form-fitting, almost girdle-like material. So it holds you in. So even Zoftig women or women with breasts my size can wear it. And it's absolutely stunningly beautiful. So that's who I choose to wear when I do pinup. Mm-hmm. Lily has days of liking to look like that. And then she has days of liking to look like a boy. She's kind of gender fluid that way. But I love that because she's having fun with fashion.
That's great.
You know?
That's great.
And I think that's what it's about.
Well, that's everything. That's everything that it's about.
Yeah.
That
having
came out
fun.
Wrong.
But having, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Having fun. And that's why, you know, the pretentiousness at the shows. I won't go to fashion shows anymore. Because
I don't like it.
I don't like that sort of desperate feeling in the air of look at me and, oh, I'm somebody or, you know, I don't like that.
No, I used to, let's just go and see this incredible
art. I love the artistry of the clothes. And you know what I do is I go onto Vogue.com and look at all the shows, which used to be Style.com. Now it's Vogue.com.
Yeah, you can see the shows.
See all the shows, and I love it. And I posted on my Twitter account Maison Margiela. Which, oh my goodness.
Look.
I could see it. I've been around forever. I've been paying attention. It's beyond.
Yeah.
Beyond.
No, look, nobody makes a gown. I know there's amazing gown. Look, over the years, there's been so many. Love Valentino. Reem Akra does some gorgeous gowns. There's been amazing gowners. Gowners, I'm calling them. But nobody constructs a gown like Galliano.
Yeah.
Honest to God.
Yeah.
His gowns are remarkable. Badgley Mischka does a great gown. You know, look at Vera Wang with her wedding gowns are gorgeous. But John Galliano's phenomenal. Agreed.
Yeah, right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Casper Mattresses is saving lives.
It and marriages.
And marriages and bad backs.
Mm.
Because this mattress is just heaven.
Yes.
Heaven. You know firsthand.
Well, it's my favorite thing in my house, apart from my children, I guess, and my husband. I've actually become recently obsessed with heated blankets after a trip to the UK. I was like, why don't we use heated blankets?
Uh-huh.
So I got this plush heated blanket. So I lay it on top of my Casper mattress. And then at night when it's chilly, I don't have to put the heat on. I just put my heated blanket on and get in there. And it's literally like I can't even get down fast enough to fall asleep.
Where you fall asleep. Well, the nothing beats a great night's sleep. A great night's sleep is everything. It helps you throughout the day. And that's what Casper's job is. They are here to help you get a great night's sleep.
Mm.
And for those who don't know, Casper is an amazing online retailer of premium mattresses at a fraction of the price.
Yeah.
Because obviously the mattress industry has forced consumers into paying these notoriously high markups.
They really are. You know, it's like one of those things when you think you have to buy a car, you have to do, and then you're like, I have to buy a mattress. You know that you have to save up forever, not with Casper.
That's right. And this is a mattress you're going to love and you're going to keep for a good long time.
Yep.
We've actually got a letter from somebody.
It's from Angel Johnson, longtime fan of the podcast. Never miss an episode of that or Drag Race. You're an inspiration to me. Just wanted to send a quick message to you guys to thank you for recommending the Casper mattress. It's changed my life in a big way. I'm in a polyamorous triad relationship.
I don't know what that is. Do I want to know?
That means there's three.
Oh, okay.
You know, for the last 2.5 years, the three of us have squeezed into an old queen size mattress.
Ooh.
Are you insane?
No queen.
No queen is right. He says, oh my God, right? Well, not only does the Casper feel amazing and does the body right, but now we have space to actually spread out for a good night's sleep. I mean, I love my partners and I love to snuggle, but damn, a bitch needs her sleep. Being in a poly triad, you need space. And I would think you need sleep too. So that's from Angel. And congratulations to you and your beautiful relationship and your Casper mattress.
Oh, that sounds really fun. And I'm glad they're getting some sleep. That's great.
I don't know how they have time to sleep. It's like big love.
That's right. Now, Casper mattresses are so great. They're so confident in the quality of their mattresses that they have a risk-free trial and return policy. You can try sleeping on a mattress for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns.
Love it.
That is 100% risk-free. What are you waiting for?
I have no idea.
You better go and get you a Casper mattress.
Okay.
You also get $50 toward any mattress purchase right now by visiting Casper.com/Rue. That's right. The offer code is my name, R-U. Now, terms and conditions may apply. Go to Casper right now. Casper.com/Rue. Get started today.
Yes. Don't wait.
We are back. Now, this is our fashion issue. We've got Marc Jacobs coming up in just a minute. But, I wanted to talk about the idea of being ready for fashion, because there's this pressure to look a certain way. I know you and I are both obsessed with plastic surgery. Yes. and being, coat hangers, yeah. Which, it's not very easy to do.
No, obviously. It's a lot easier for you, apparently.
Well, you know what? When I'm filming Drag Race, I do bring my weight down. But after we film, I say,
it's fun with food.
Bring the grilled cheese.
Bring me my grilled cheese.
But I always want to be, thin for the clothes. And sometimes I don't feel good about wearing the clothes if I've packed on some pounds.
Oh, I understand. I'm with you. 100%.
And then, of course, the face, you want to look young. We talk about how obsessed we are with Dr. Dubrow, who we just love. And as you well know, I've witnessed a facelift in his operating room.
I mean, listen, I love Dr. Dubrow, and it's time. It's time.
It's time. You're saying it's time for you.
It's time.
Because you what are you doing to your skin now?
Oh, my God. So listen, I'm staving off the knife. I'm doing everything I can because I don't want to be that girl. I do want to be.
What do you mean you don't want to be?
I'm going to tell you. I do want to be taken seriously as an actor. I do want to be able to be realistic, and I don't want to be the rich white woman. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to.
Because if you have plastic surgery, you can't play the mom down the street.
You just can't go back.
You can't go back.
And it's not. I'm not judging anybody. I love it. There's nothing to be said. I can't say enough great things about it. But once you cross that line. You can't.
You close off certain jobs.
Yes.
Right.
But looking at myself, I just see more and more things. So I'm trying to do whatever I can to not do it before I go, okay, it's time. Uh-huh. So I bought myself a Tria laser, another product placement.
Who?
We can go after them.
Tria.
T-R-I-A. I bought the original one. It's an at-home laser hair removal because I started doing my daughter Lily's armpits. She's hairy, and I'm not.
Yeah.
But I've gotten laser on my armpits before. That's the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
Best thing, right?
Doesn't hurt.
Oh, yeah, it hurts.
It hurts.
Have you ever had laser hair removal?
I've had laser on my face before.
It hurts.
It does hurt. How many sessions did you have to do?
Armpits, I did six, but I have some scragglers. So I bought the at-home laser. I think it's like $300 or $350.
And this is nothing like a Tony home perm.
No.
No.
Nothing at all. It actually works. Mm-hmm. And you won't fry your hair out. But, it takes longer because it's not that strength, but it hurts. It works.
Right, right.
So I do it once a week to Lily. You're supposed to do it once every other week. I do it once a week.
Do you have to wear a mask when you do it?
No, that's for hair removal. Now, the one that I just bought is an anti-aging laser. Same company.
Okay. Now, back up a minute.
So I got two different lasers.
You have two different lasers. Okay. So, but to do under the arms, do you have to wear a mask?
No.
No, that's just when they have the super strength at the doctor's office.
You don't look direct. Don't look in the light, Carol.
Don't look in the light.
No, and just do what you got to do wherever you're doing it, on your legs, your groin, whatever.
Between
me down there. I do the armpits. Just don't look. Because it's concentrated on one little circle, it's not wide open like in a room.
Right.
And the face one, you're just doing this. You're going back and forth. You don't go up and down. You go back and forth. It hurts. It feels like pricks, like not that kind of prick, like prickles. And, you start out on one, you go to two. I went right to three.
And
I went balls to the wall.
Uh-huh.
My gay that's older to me is like, you moms are no joke. You moms go ham. You go right to level three. Because I was like, what's the point? So it's going to take away like the unevenness, the lines.
And this is made by Tria also.
Tria. It's amazing. It hurts so bad.
Really?
But it's worth every
minute. And are
you
bruised up afterward?
No, you're red.
You're red.
I did
How
it this
long?
Morning, but look at my skin's not really red anymore.
Yeah. Where did you do it?
My whole face.
Your whole face.
And my neck. And when I have time, I do my décolletage as well. Like
what is
chest.
It supposed to do? Is it tighten?
It only claims to get rid of fine lines because you can only get one patent at a time. But if you look at the pictures, it gets rid of spots. It gets rid of freckles, uneven skin tones, pores. The reason I bought it was pores. It gets rid of pores. Like it's amazing, but they can't claim to do all of that.
Right. How did you find out about this company, this product?
My gay at Planet Beauty, my gay man, he told me about it. I went in, he's like, oh, honey, you need to have this. And he shows me pictures of how it works. The hair removal, I researched on my own, and I came to the conclusion that I needed that.
Right.
And he was like, oh, did you see the new laser that came in? It's anti-aging. And I feel like in the 2 weeks that I've been using it, my skin, I see a difference in my skin.
Really?
Lightening of the freckles, because I want to get rid of the freckles because my freckles don't look like freckles. They look like dirt.
Oh, that's not true.
No, you don't have good freckles like you have good freckles. My freckles are not good. And I've had them my whole life. And obviously when I go in the sun, they're 20 times worse.
Right, right.
But I don't go in the sun anymore. So I'm upset. I do it every day.
I wonder who their competition is. I wonder who else is making this. Why did he say Tria? Because that's not the only company that does it.
I think it's the only one right now that's doing that on that level.
Tria.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Huh.
So there's going to be more, no doubt, because it's pretty successful. The anti-aging laser is like $500, so it's a bit more expensive. They even sell them at Sephora.
Wait a minute. Okay. So you've talked about three different, you said anti-aging laser.
And then hair removal.
Hair removal, uh-huh. And then this one that you're using.
And then there's one for acne that they have too.
So that's a fourth one.
Yeah. No, and it's the third one.
Okay. So the one that you use today is the
anti-aging.
And you said that was $300.
That one's $500.
Okay. You bought it for $500.
Well.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I didn't get it for free. Uh-huh. I just got a little discount.
Yes.
I got a gay discount.
Yeah, you got a girlfriend
That's
discount.
A girlfriend discount. Uh-huh. The hair laser removal one, I think, is less expensive. That one is $450, and then there's a laser precision. Like, they have two versions of it. One that's not as big, one that's a smaller head. That one's $300.
How long did it take you this morning to do your whole face?
Because I'm on level three.
Yeah.
It's a minute and a half each quadrant.
Oh, see, that's
okay.
Sounds like
I'm
going to
do it. I'm going to do it right now.
Okay.
So that would be 6 minutes for my whole face. 6 minutes, Michelle, you're on. 6 minutes, Michelle, your face.
And how does Dougie Fresh feel about this?
He was very upset that I stole his song.
Yeah, I bet you feel Dougie Fresh after the treatment.
I look Dougie Fresh.
Yeah, yeah.
Look.
Okay, so wait a minute. 6 minutes to do your whole face.
6 minutes to do my whole face. And then you can do some on your neck. You can do some anywhere. I met this woman who's a rich woman, right? Mm-hmm. I met her at Planet Beauty. And my favorite thing that any human has ever said to me, we were talking about the laser. Manny says, oh, this is so-and-so. She's got one too. And she looked at me. She goes, do you love it? I go, I'm just buying it now. I don't know. Yeah. She goes, I'm going to tell you right now. I started doing it 2 weeks ago. I now do my entire body. This woman must have weighed 89 pounds. She's probably in her 60s. And I went, what do you mean? Your neck and your chest. She goes, Michelle, I do from my ankles all the way up.
My goodness.
She wants to get rid of anything and everything.
Yeah. And it's battery operated.
It's charge. It's reach. It's not batteries. It's plug.
Right, right.
But I'll tell you what, the one for the anti-aging doesn't last as long on a charge as the one for the hair removal. That one lasts forever. This one, you get three goes and you have to recharge it.
Okay. So we're talking about a hair removal. We're talking about an anti-aging.
And they also make one for acne.
I see.
Yeah.
Right.
But you can get them at Sephora. But I have to tell you, I feel that it's working. I do. Right. There's a tightening aspect of it.
Right.
And there's the spot removal aspect of it.
Do you ever go on bit rate or is it biz rate? What is it?
Biz rate.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Where you check the comparison pricing for items.
I will. I don't do biz rate, but I will go online and do that. But since, you know, I have hookups.
Yes.
So it's not like, you know, and then when I don't, and trust me, I was raised a nice Jewish girl.
Mm-hmm.
I do my comparison shopping. My mother, at her eulogy, when I eulogized her at a funeral, I said, I'm wearing an Anne de Mullemeester dress, normally over $1,000. Because of Arlene, I paid $100 for this dress. And she would be so proud. Like, people were not getting it, except for the people that do get it. Like, you would be dying. So that was at how I eulogized my mother. The point is, I know how to bargain shop, honey. Trust, Tanny.
Yeah.
And there's no way I research it to make sure it works. Those hair, skin, and nail pills that we talked about previously about Nicole Kidman,
uh-huh.
I researched them. I was like, do I need to buy them?
Yeah.
Not that it was obviously helping Nicole Kidman, but I was like, what if they're good?
Right.
Horrible reviews.
Really?
So it does pay to do your due diligence.
Well, but I would assume
and these lasers do work.
I would assume that those gelatin pills, or I guess they're gelatin pills, like Nox. Remember the Nox gelatin?
Well, Nox, yeah. Nox is
that
it's beef collagen. It's it does work if you want to take the beef stuff. You can even get collagen, beef collagen like protein shakes, which are really good for your hair, skin, and nails as well. There's a million products out there. I use one that I love, and I don't need to name check them, but they are out there. You know what I mean? But there's another laser removal system that came out before Tria did, and I researched that one, and it's cheaper, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work as well.
Right.
So I did do the research, and obviously they did too, because they've been at it for years. And I'm telling you, whoever's considering it, if you want to do at-home hair removal, it does take longer, but if you do it once a week, it's worth the investment of $400 or $350 to do it at home.
Yeah.
Yes, you can get Groupons and everything now, but I'm finding that I do still, even after six sessions, have hair issues. Like I have to zap them.
Because I went to see a hair laser removal. The wording is backwards.
No, that's
there.
Right. Yeah. Laser hair removal.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. I think I may have done eight sessions, and it was, listen, I've had electrolysis. On my face.
That hurts though, doesn't it?
It sure does. Yeah. Everything. Life is painful, kids.
Electrolysis, for the kids out there, is the precursor to laser hair removal.
Right, where they take a hot needle that goes into
your follicle
and burns the root. Yeah. And over the course of several years, your root says, okay, I give up. I won't grow.
Several years. Yes. You're being tortured.
Tortured on a table. In Valley Village, California.
But I will say that laser hair removal, though you do need 6 to 8 sessions, it is good. And it does hurt. It feels like somebody's snapping a rubber band every single time.
Yeah. But, you know, if you take an ibuprofen.
No, I have girlfriends who have gone plastered on Xanax, can't even move, with numbing cream that you would put like on your lips before you get them done, on their vagina, and just laid there basically unconscious to get their vagina done. Yeah. But I can imagine, because I only did my armpits, I can imagine what it's like to get a Brazilian with a laser. That does not feel good.
Well, try the area around the lips of your face.
I do that with the anti-aging laser. It hurts
so
bad.
It's a very sensitive area.
Oh my God. So, like, I try to do under the nose area. It's so, because I have some capillaries there. Yeah. So, I was like, fuck it. I'm going to put some cover up on this bitch and I'm good. No, it's, but I totally stand behind doing anything that you feel like you need to do to tighten, to snatch.
Well, that's, again, it's fashion for your interactions.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about looking a certain way. But, you know, do you want to look that way for other people? Or do you want to look that way for yourself?
It's for me. Don't you want to do it for you?
I want to do it for me, but I also want to look good on TV.
Of course. But that's still you. It's still you and your ego.
Sure.
It's nobody else.
Yeah.
And I understand that. You want to look your best.
You know, for years people have said that women dress for other women. Do you feel that's true?
I think maybe when I was younger, I would dress for men and for women, for girls to be like, oh, she's pretty, you know?
Right.
Not anymore. Now I dress to feel good. If somebody wants to compliment me, the way I dress definitely changes the way that I feel. And you said it when you quoted Joan Crawford the best, you know, if they wanted the girl next door, they'd go get the girl next door. I want to walk out looking like the Joan Crawford. And that stuck with me. It sat with me and I was like, I get it. Because you do feel different when you dress differently.
Absolutely. They say when you feel your worst, that's when you should dress your best.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And it's true.
You know, I like to dress for the rent, actually.
Mm.
You know, some people do.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, but I do find that you get a certain level of respect, even if the people don't know what you're wearing as designer. You know, the only people who ever know that I'm wearing something that's designer is the sales clerks in stores, in the designer stores. They're the only people who are paying attention to whether,
Or like a stylist, like Art would totally be like,
Art would know.
But, or some fashion centric homosexual, but they're not the way that they are like they used to be. Like when I wore Versace, you'd know it Versace.
Right.
You know, things like that. But,
people used to go to Las Vegas and they used to dress up, or people get on an airplane, they used to dress up.
Yes!
But
now it's the opposite.
It's the opposite. People have abused casual wear. And, you know,
I'm an abuser.
In Australia especially, in California especially, people are very casual. The rules of fashion are baroque.
Yeah.
Yes.
New York is really, and London are two very fashion. Even Italy, when I was there, I was surprised to see the lack of fashion.
Yeah.
Like I thought it would be, I haven't been to Milan, but I don't think it's no longer the epicenter anyway of fashion. So even in Paris, I'm not impressed, you know. It could have been Paris, Texas. It wouldn't have been the same thing. I just find it interesting.
Well, speaking of the epicenter of fashion,
and New York City.
Yes, we have Marc Jacobs. And so after this break, we're going to have the legendary Marc Jacobs.
After these messages.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Wow. You know, one of the great things about being associated with Squarespace is seeing all the emails that all of our listeners create with using Squarespace.
The gorgeous websites.
It says so much about who is attracted to us and the kind of people. It's brilliant.
They're all the people I would hang out with.
Yes. Yeah. I love them. And they send these emails to RuPaulPodcast@gmail.com. They're talking about their Squarespace websites. Mm-hmm. And I love looking at them.
Yeah, me too.
You got a letter there?
I do. This one's from Ruben Aguilar. He's a hairstylist. He said he's been a longtime avid listener and he's excited to send you this message because he finally finished his website.
Good.
Yeah. The site is called Ruby Doos, RubyDooz.com. And it features hair by Ruben Aguilar, his hair studio, and some of the work that he's done lately. He wanted to build a site, but just kept putting it off until about the third or fourth time that we mentioned Squarespace, which, of course, sometimes you need to ease things.
Sure.
Yeah. Sometimes. So he went to the site, loved the templates, signed up that night. He is so happy with his website after going back and forth and things changes font, and he figured out exactly what he wanted. He says, a million thank yous to us both. Wisdom and love that we have guides all the children to the light.
Oh, my goodness. Couldn't
we
be better than that.
We love you too, Ruben.
And the site looks gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
I mean, really creative. And that's what Squarespace affords you. Listen, it makes it so easy. Squarespace makes it so easy to do something that you can be proud of.
Yep.
Now, when you're blown away and ready to confirm a plan, use the offer code RUE to get 10% off. Wow, that is a great deal, and you'll be doing yourself a favor here. Listen, Squarespace, y'all keep doing what you're doing because you are right on time. Mm-hmm. And keep sending us your websites, listeners, because we love seeing them. Send them to RuPaulPodcast@gmail.com. And you go on over to squarespace.com and get that offer. Offer code RUE, RU. We have our special guest here. Oh my goodness. Aren't we lucky, Michelle?
Legendary.
Who's lucky?
Marc Jacobs.
Oh my God.
Stop.
Mike, you know, I remember it was either Vanity Fair or Vogue where you're in the bed in the sheets and stuff.
Vanity Fair.
And it was saying, okay, this is the one who you need to keep your eye out on.
Oh.
And there were others in that article who didn't do as well as you did. You know,
yeah, well, they're always, you know,
there's
ones
always
that rise.
Yes, yes.
Luckily, I never had a problem in that department so far.
And here you are. You are a fashion mogul. Is this what you set out to do?
Well, yeah, I never wanted to do anything else. I mean, since I was a little boy, I mean, I loved to shop for back to school clothes. I was excelled in home economics. Sewed my own jumpsuits and covered them with patches. And
at what age?
9. You know, I made little outfits for myself. I remember going to the Puerto Rican Day Parade with my grandmother in Central Park, and I'd made my boiler suit. You know, I'd made my boiler suit and covered it in gas station patches and stuff.
Ooh,
like that. Because that's how my babysitter's boyfriends dressed or something.
I love it.
Where did you get the eye for fashion? Of your mother, your father?
No, I think it was my grandmother, really. I mean, my grandmother raised me, and I mean, my mother had some crazy-ass taste in clothes. Much to my father's dismay. I mean, she looked like Jane Fonda in Clute.
Oh, that's hot.
Yes.
Which was hot, yeah. But
it's actually, you're kind of wearing something like...
It's more Liza, yeah, I think. Another fave. But no, my mom sort of veered towards the sort of trashy side. But my grandmother really taught me about fashion. And she took me shopping to all the different stores. And I just loved to go with her to the hairdresser. And
what was her name?
Her name is Helen.
Oh, she's still with us?
No, she's not with us.
Helen.
She'll always be with me, but she's... Sorry.
Yeah. So, and your fashion sense came from her, and she was just pure...
She was just of that generation, you know, change your bag with your outfit, you know, like, and dress for different occasions. And she would make
that.
Me, you know, like, I was brought up going to the theater in New York, and we had to dress up. I mean, we could not wear jeans and t-shirts to the theater or a tracksuit, you know, or sneakers or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a dinner jacket to dinner. And so she was very about like manners and dressing for occasion and all that. And she also taught me how, you know, to really appreciate my clothes and to take care of them, and that I had a responsibility to my things, and how it was better to have one really beautiful thing than many not so beautiful things. And I think, you know, I learned to hang my clothes up. I fold my dirty laundry before I put it in the hamper.
Are you OCD?
I'm a little OCD, yeah. Yeah. Mm.
And so at what point did this love of clothes and dressing up turn into I need to be a fashion designer?
You know, I think, you say when, you know, we're all born naked and the rest is drag. And I couldn't agree with you more completely because I think, you know, we show, I mean, it's such a joy, the ritual of getting dressed and presenting who we want the world to see. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really a fun thing. And a lot of members of my family were in some form of the entertainment business. And I always thought of fashion as a form of entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I enjoy doing it, but I also enjoy the pleasure it gives others, mm-hmm. you know, to watch it, to see it. And I feel like life is just this big parade and we all just sort of get dressed for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fun to be a part of making those looks and doing that thing.
Yeah, because you were a success right out of the bat. Now, the Vanity Fair story, was that 89, 88?
I was 25 years old, I think. So that I was born in 63 plus 25. What does that make? 88.
I was 88?
I guess so.
So before that happened, because that really was the beginning.
Well, that's when I got the job at Perry Ellis.
Right.
So before that, I had been working, but I was in and out of business, you know, after Parsons School of Design. And then my first big job was at Perry Ellis, and I was the youngest person ever to have a big position on 7th Avenue.
Did you ever meet Perry Ellis?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
I did. I met Perry when I was 16 years old at Charivari, which was a store.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I used to love Charivari.
Yeah, and I met him. I was 16, and I ran up to him, and I just said, like, you know, what do? I want to, like, learn about fashion. And he said, go to Parsons.
Yeah.
And that's where I went and studied. I'd been in the High School of Art and Design before that.
Right. Did you work retail?
52nd. I worked retail. Huh. I was a stock boy at Charivari at the age of 16.
Wow.
And worked there for 4 years after school and on weekends to put myself through college. And that's it.
So from getting out of Parsons and getting into heading Perry Ellis, how many years was that?
It was about, let's see, I was about 4 years.
Wow.
I mean, I was in and out of business with my partner, Robert, you know, for 4 years. And then Robert McDonald, who was a great friend of Perry's, when Perry died, mm-hmm. he put his two designers were in charge of the collection. And then Robert came to me and said, we'd like you to do it. And I always felt a kind of spiritual connection with Perry. I mean, he was such a cool guy and he was so warm and great with me. And I think what he injected in American fashion was like a sense of whimsy and humor. Mm-hmm. And he was much more of a European designer than a 7th Avenue designer.
Mm-hmm.
He was cool, you know, so he had long hair and gorgeous and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, beautiful.
So I could relate to that.
Yeah. Al, tell me this. Now, you've been such a success in the fashion industry where so many people fail, talent aside, but where do you think your sense of business comes from? I know that your father was an agent?
Yeah, he was an agent. I don't know that he died when I was 7. So I don't think, I mean, other than some beautiful memories as a kid, I don't know what I got from him. I know what I know what I got from him. It was nothing to do with business. It had more to do with the way I treat people and how I feel about everybody being equal. And all we have in common is the most important thing are our feelings. That's what we all share, you know? So, I mean, I was very lucky for that, but I didn't get anything in terms of business from him. My grandmother, again, was the one who encouraged me to do what I wanted to do.
Who would play her?
Who would play her?
Yeah. Oh, which one of the golden?
I would like Elizabeth Taylor to play
her.
Because, I mean, I just saw her as the most glamorous figure in the world.
Your grandmother.
Yeah. And Elizabeth Taylor, both.
But Helen was the mother?
Helen's my grandmother.
Oh, yeah. And what was your mother's name?
My mother's name is Judy.
Judy. Oh. Yeah.
Judy. Well, you know, I love a Judy. I love
Judy. Yeah, I know. A Judge Judy.
Yeah.
A Judge Judy.
No, but what's interesting is, you know, what you've done in the business of fashion and how you've revolutionized it. You know, I live in New York, and on my street, you have monopolized several corners of my neighborhood. And here in LA, I live here too.
Yeah, yeah.
You've monopolized.
Melrose.
Yes. Yeah. Are there other cities where you've monopolized areas?
You know what? It's my partner, Robert, really, who did all of that. I mean, we both love that space on Melrose, the one that's covered in ivy. So we agreed on that. But Robert and I have always been very instinctive. And while he was always the business side and I was the creative side, I mean, we kind of, I hate to use that expression, we complete each other. But in terms of starting a business and creating the business that we have now, You know, Robert was always very instinctive about real estate and stuff like that. And we moved into the West Village. And we, again, we always want to be part of the community. Yeah. It wasn't about taking over or anything like that. And it wasn't calculated. It was really instinctive. I mean, our books, shops, and, you know, our bookmark and everything, it was just an impulse and something that we felt. And many of our impulses failed. But we've always learned that if we want to sleep at night, we have to trust our instincts.
Yeah.
And so all of those choices were really instinctive.
Right. I'm sure a lot of young people in the fashion industry come up and say, what do I do? You know, how do I become the next Marc Jacobs? What do you tell them?
Well, you know, I don't believe in giving advice. I can share my experience. I think, you know, you know, that's how I roll. You know, I can tell you what I did and, you know, whatever you get out of that, that's great. But, I believe in not giving up. And I know that when I don't believe in myself, I turn to people that love me and care about me, and I ask them, you know, what can I do or what am I doing wrong? And I kind of, you know, sort of look at, hear, listen, and stop giving advice or stop talking. And, you know, so I just believe in that old adage of believe in yourself and don't give up.
Right, you know? Right. Now, you know, you used to do Hermes, was it, or Louis Vuitton?
Louis Vuitton. Yeah. Slightly different.
Yeah. do you miss doing an extra line? Like, how many lines do you do?
Well, we just do, I mean, just working on Marc Jacobs, and I say just as if it's like less work, but it isn't.
And there's
Marc.
Because
we do beauty, we do fragrance.
Right.
Well, now we're combining Marc by Marc and Marc Jacobs. It's just as much work, but it's all be under one label. But I do, you know, it's a bittersweet thing. I worked for 16 years for Louis Vuitton and I loved it, but I was traveling back and forth between New York and Paris and living 6 months a year in each place. And, you know, I give 100%. Mm-hmm. So the thing is doing two things, I was able to give 100% only 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. And now I'm giving 100% of myself to one thing, which is my own brand. And that's great. And, but I do miss it. I mean, you know, it's quite hard. You know, I'm a creature of habit. And the fashion schedule is so specific, you know, that I kind of was on autopilot. I would be used to finishing one show in New York, getting on a plane the next day and starting, you know, the intense no sleep 2 weeks before the Paris show and then the Paris show. And sort of there's, you know, I've learned that I miss things when they're gone,
right,
you know?
Right.
So I feel that absence, you know?
Yeah.
And when I'm in Paris, when I'm there at that time of year, like during Paris Fashion Week, I really feel like, you know, part of me is missing because
right.
I was part of it for so long.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you know, the fashion industry loves you. Women who buy your clothes, men who buy your clothes, they love you. What is the secret? What is this? What is that about? Do you have any
loyal.
Ideas? They're well, very
yeah.
loyal. People
oh,
are
know.
Marc Jacobs people.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I hope that I'm realistic about this. I think, you know, there'll always be new performers who catch our eye. There'll always be new designers who catch our eye. So there's the excitement of someone new, bringing something new. And then there's also that kind of loyalty that you have for someone because you have a kind of primitive connection to.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who says something that you relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll always have that sort of warm place in their heart, you know, because mm-hmm. you speak their language.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's always the excitement of the new and the person who brings that new, you know. And I'm the same as everybody else in that respect. You know, I feel when I hear certain references to certain people, I love it. And then I also like want to see somebody I've never seen before saying something I've never heard before. You know?
Yeah.
Well, speaking about new, I'm in love with Marc's Cosmetics. So I went and bought the mascara. They carry at Sephora.
Yes.
I went and bought the mascara. But on my own, not knowing Marc, not obviously not knowing. And
now you won't have to buy it.
I'm telling Rue because she loves a mascara too.
Yeah.
It is so rich and so creamy and delicious and not dry. It's wet. And I used to know, I was like, this is amazing.
Is there a full line?
There's
line. Yeah. And it's doing so well.
Of
and
course,
it's a
because
pleasure
it's good product.
It's really good product. And you know what? We started from zero, a blank page, like it never existed before. And it's been the most rewarding and exciting project I've worked on for a long, long time.
And sleek
thank
packaging
God.
Too.
Yeah. Well, I worked on every aspect from the packaging and I have a great team that work on it with me.
Yeah.
So they really bring it in terms of the ingredients, the, you know, Omega infused like formulas, the coconut water. No, I mean, they like looked at my lifestyle. We talked about like, what would Marc Jacobs beauty mean? And, you know, I have crazy ideas for mascara, nail polishes. I talk to them. They go to the places and they sort of work on the formulas. There's a nail polish we've been working on for a year that's finally going to be ready. We worked on these four.
A year?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can't really talk about it because it'll be out soon. But yeah. But yeah, it was a particular thing, and either it'll, you know, sort of float or fail. But but it's great to work with people who just keep on keeping on. Like they want to make it happen, and they love the idea of doing something that doesn't exist.
It's so good, and I'm going to just be a supporter of it for the people that are listening. The nail polishes are amazing. His nudes are phenomenal. The packaging, you just literally –
yeah,
just,
they're really
– it's wow. It's so beautiful.
It really is. I mean, I'm very, very proud of it, and it's really a rare occasion when I can say, like, I'm really proud of the team and the packaging, the product, the formulas,
it's
everything.
It's good stuff, babe.
Well, you just mentioned, you know, the Marc Jacobs lifestyle. You know, you look better than you've ever looked in your life.
Thank you.
And I know that what changed, you know, a few years ago, you just started looking like a movie star. Well, you started out looking like a movie star.
No.
And then you
I was a mess.
What changed?
Well, a lot of things changed. I suffer from ulcerative colitis, and I was trying everything.
What is colitis?
Colitis. It's a... Ulcerative colitis is my father died of cancer of the colon, and that was caused by ulcerative colitis that was undetected. You know,
did he suffer for years?
He suffered for a while. He died quite quickly from the cancer because the polyps. I mean, it wasn't known as well as it has been in the past. I guess 20 years about men being sort of checked for, you know, having the colonoscopies, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I suffer from it as well. But luckily, I've kept up with the colonoscopies. Anyway, there was a point where I was suffering so badly and they wanted to remove part of my intestine. And a friend of mine, a very good friend, said, don't do the surgery. You know, don't do the surgery. Why don't you see a nutritionist? And I did. I took her advice because I did not want to have my intestine removed.
Right.
And or part of it removed. And this nutritionist said, you've got to change your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you've got to find time every day to laugh. You've got to sweat, which means going to the gym, which I had never stepped foot in a gym. Mm-hmm. And he said, you have to change your diet. Like no white flour, no sugar, no caffeine, and no dairy from a cow. Mm. And I was absolutely compliant for a year, like without cheating once. I also went through, and I have gone through battles with drugs and alcohol. So I put all that down for that period. Mm-hmm. And I started to change. And then I cut my hair. I took my glasses off. I cared about my appearance. I started shopping. And then guys started looking at me and then it was all over. You know, you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, I started going to the gym and I liked my reflection in the mirror.
You've always been cute.
And guys were asking me out, not because of what I did for a living, but because they thought I looked hot and they wanted to, you know.
Yeah. But you've always been cute, Mark.
Yeah, always been good looking.
Cute in the grungy way, you know, and I had the long hair and the glasses and dirty clothes and, you know.
No, in Vanity Fair, the Vanity Fair picture.
Well, that was sexy, but that was Stephen Meisel. And Stephen Meisel could make anybody look gorgeous, you know. No, but I had long hair and they painted me and, you know, and I was in bed naked in motorcycle boots. That was a good period.
Yes,
that
great.
But it was 25, dear. That was 27 years ago.
Yeah.
You know.
So a complete changeover. Talk about transformation.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. And do you feel better than ever?
I do. You know, on some days it's not about how you look. And then other days it certainly helps. You know, there are days where I just sort of feel, you know, I feel like I've just come a long way. And sometimes people say, oh, we love the way you used to look. And some people say, oh, you look so much better now. And I think, you know, when I get too involved in that whole outside thing, I just say, yeah, you know what? I feel good. I mean, I look better because I feel better.
Yeah.
And I am better because I feel better and look better. It's like all tied together. Right. It's not one or the other because I can put it on but feel like shit inside, and then it's just an act.
Looking good, feeling gorgeous. Good.
Well, what's so interesting about this whole thing, Michelle, is how you listen to your body, and the universe gives you stage direction and says, listen, there's something happening, adjust it. And you took it, and you're more beautiful than ever, you're more successful than ever, and this is something for everybody.
Agreed.
to tune into what the universe's stage direction is.
Yeah, it takes time, though. Sometimes, you know, that it's always being transmitted, but we don't always receive it.
Patience is important.
You can't pry open a flower.
No, you can't. I always wonder about fashion, though. You know, I've been following fashion magazines since I was a kid, and I always loved it. But, you know, at one point, you see the same thing come down the run. You saw it when it came down the runway when you were 14, and then you see it again at 21, yeah. And then you see it again at 28. At one point you go, is there anything new out there, you know?
I think, you know, it's all perspective, because I think it was Chanel who once said, Hugh insists on his own creativity has no memory. Everything came from somewhere, but it's how we put it together. And, you know, like with music, when you look at like hip hop, for instance, you know, the sampling, or you look at art and how like appropriation, it's people using materials that are out there, but by putting them together in a different way, they create a new song or a new piece of art or a new fashion. I mean, I watch your show regularly. I've seen everything. And I mean, you look at Violet, you know, winner of last season, and it's like, I know the references, but Violet is still bringing it new, you know, for a new audience. Yeah. I mean, she's bringing her thing to it, even though I can see the references. And I think that's the same of fashion. It's the same of writing. You know, again, I really love that Chanel adage.
Yeah. Well, you know, in marketing 101 is somebody turns 18 every day.
Yep. Yeah.
So they've never seen bell bottoms before, you know. So, you know, they want to buy the... Just before we take our break, there's one thing. I always get great inspiration from you and how brilliant you are as a fashion entrepreneur, designer, but you know, some of the marketing choices, like in my neighborhood, there's a lot of tourists in down around, you know, West Village, Bleecker and stuff. And there's a shop for everyone who wants to visit that area. You have a shop for everyone to buy some at every price point.
Yeah.
Now, is that you or is that your partner?
It's both of us. I mean, I always say I love high low. I mean, I love a pair of sneakers with a sequin couture jacket. Mm-hmm. You know, that's me. That's the way I roll. I don't know if it's a reverse snobism. It's not a reverse snobism. I just love the high and low.
Unexpected.
It's the contrast. You know, there's my favorite vision always, like in 80s New York or in late 70s New York, you know, there's a girl all dressed up sitting on a curb eating French fries from McDonald's. Mm-hmm. There's just something about like the decadence, the indulgence, and it's the celebration of the beauty in everything, from the banal to the, you know, extraordinary. And it's the mix of those two that I think creates such a beautiful, like, irony, perversity, tension, and dynamic.
Yes, yes. It's funny you mentioned that girl all dressed up eating McDonald's french fries, because I know that you designed for that girl. You have, in fact, when I think of the early Marc Jacobs, that girl is the Marc Jacobs customer.
But that's, I mean, that's what I'd like to think. You know, it's that sort of the art of living kind of thing. And it's sort of like there is no wrong. It's all right. And it's just, it's all good. You know, it's like you just put... And again, it's just beauty is truly in the eye of the beholder. And whatever your experience is, and the mix of those experiences is what's really, you know, the most gorgeous thing of all.
I love it. Thank you so much, Marc
Thank
Jacobs.
You
are just brilliant. And I cannot wait for the next thing that you do. You're so inspirational. I'm so happy you're a fan of our show.
Oh, my God. Bigger fan than me, I don't think you'll find. Well, you probably find a lot of many matches, but... Yeah, no, I'm a huge fan.
And now we'll listen to the podcast.
Yes, now I will listen to the podcast. Now I'll listen to the podcast. Absolutely.
Well, thank you. We love you. And
I love you too.
Can't wait
to
see
what you've done. What you've done for all these kids and everybody. I mean, it's truly, as I said to Michelle, I truly laugh out loud. I cry out loud, and I'm proud out loud. It's just such a beautiful thing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Love yourself. How in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.
If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Amen.